something rhythmic, but just so we get a sense of rhythm. And then we can go off. We've established, we've got this beat here, kind of feel. Going, just to say, Marty's in three. Keep going, Chris.
Right.
Chris and Ben, carry on. Sections of it.
Piano and
list.
Yeah, nice.
Constant, going back to those words.
Yeah.
It's quite sleepy.
It was quite constant, wasn't it? Yeah.
This is mine.
It wasn't particularly unnoticed, was it?
It's your question.
I think it's mine. I think you'll say this whole set is mine.
So it took us quite a long time to find.
The orchestras.
Anybody else find that? Or just me?
Yeah.
Mm. You did?
Yeah.
To find what to get into something. Mm. I mean,
Well, do you know, I think I know one reason why, which is why I spoke quite soon after, is because Martin started in three.
Yeah.
And even though we know music is in three and we play music in three, we still find it bloody hard to play in three. We've got two legs, we've got two arms. We find it, if someone's in three or six, we just can't, we go into four, we just go into
did
two.
Did you stay in three all the way through then?
For quite a long time. Yeah. You persisted for quite a long time. And we found that difficult. And it's really interesting that when somebody starts off with something, if it's not in two or not in four, the rest of us find it quite tricky to, which is not, it's nothing to do with you at all, mate. It's just that that's what happened, I think. It's just.
Did you decide to lay that down as a challenge for us?
No.
I suspected that.
You could have said I was in nine, I wouldn't have known.
It's cultural, isn't it? If you went to a different part of the world, then people would find different rhythms.
Well, that's partly why I said we have two legs and two arms, because you're right that people who are used to playing asymmetric rhythms from an early age, you're absolutely right, but there is still something about that we do go in, we walk in two. Yeah, but there is something about that. But you're right, that if you're culturally used to tunes that are in seven from when you're very young, nine and 11.
Really odd to go to a disco in Turkey and everybody just quite naturally goes 1, 2, 3 or 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
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 Oh well, look at my new music book.
Oh yeah, well done. Good.
Nice.
We all have our aubergines music book.
Mm.
I'm really enjoying our richness in texture, you know, especially having the flute and the oboe joining us and the tone of the clarinet. So we do have a kind of full wind section, and when we have some recorders and melodicas as well, and then our string section, and then, you know, adding the piano in, and the eternal frog,
mm-hmm.
which is always very good to have Pilia's frog.
Oh yeah, for people who looked at me when I coughed, that was an actual frog.
What do you think of that, Zara? Did you have a favourite bit? Did you enjoy it? Was there a bit you enjoyed playing?
You were playing, were you saying playing the same tune as your dad? The E's and the F's?
Not having a piano.
The E's and D's.
I think because I'm trying to work out how to get into tune with.
Yeah.
It's nice to have something. And here.
Normally
you'd have your music already in tune, wouldn't you? So it always sounds a bit odd if
you're
like really out of tune.
You never sound out of tune to me, Ruth.
Like
you're
so
used
to having played in
never
tune.
Never said
Mr.
Dixon.
So it's nice to have something.
But it is tune, isn't it?
Here too.
We occasionally tune up, don't we?
Yeah.
We occasionally do, and sometimes we, after several weeks, we think, oh, we haven't tuned up, have we?
Tune at the end.
Yeah.
We all go home in tune.
And that's partly because we have a range of instruments. So we have the melodica and the toy piano and the piano and the frog and the glockenspiels that we can't do anything about.
No.
So some of the rest of us can do something. So if we're a bit out, and melodicas are nearly always slightly out. It's really sad. I mean, I have four melodicas and none of them are in tune with the piano.
Yeah.
And they're different melodies. So yes, we're sort of slightly stuck in that world of, well, if we're going to have the piano and the melodica and the toy piano and the accordion, there's nothing we can do about that.
But you were meaning something a little bit more about harmonic actions, I think, maybe. The piano can give you a really clear kind of harmony if it's played in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That helps me.
Emma, are we recording that?
Yes.
Then I guess you use your skill to then play in tune with everybody. Well, that's how.
And I think that is a skill of, you know, the more experienced musicians. It's a bit like
you have that. Yeah. Because when people ask about when they say about being drum machines, and they obviously ask how does a certain someone manage to play not being able to read or play a tuned instrument, I always say it's a bit like you frame the picture. You know, like you have a piece of artwork and you frame it. And you can manage to frame, have a music's going on, bring it together. together or take it in a different way, you seem to be able to hear that.
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting, Ruth, just because we're talking a technical thing, that for me, composing or improvising, there's two things that happen. One is inventing and one is arranging.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that everyone, I genuinely believe, can invent an idea, a good idea. But it's a kind of craft of learning about arranging.
Yes.
So it was a bit like when we were playing then, that's why I made those decisions to say, let's just listen to what Chris is doing and Ben and carry on. And that, you know, because you can kind of hear some of those things, and I think it is quite interesting that we learn those skills. It's like, oh yeah, because we're listening. You know, that Emma and I, we pride ourselves on being quite good listeners.
Yeah.
And
it's really
so being able to hear the whole thing, yeah.
To music as opposed to just playing what's in front of you.
Yeah.
If you have to listen to music, where you really have to listen hard to, like, it's lovely hearing Tammy.
Yeah.
And I could hear at times you were coming in with what fun it would be doing, and then making it sound really lovely. So it's really.
Well, it's lovely when it.
Yeah.
When you
you're
aware of that.
You can have that little moment, can't you? You can feel, yes, you're now like as if you're playing something on a score that would be in an orchestra.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Funny, oh, this is that thing that I was playing is that that's confirmed that it is music.
Music. Yeah. So.
Nice.
Practice our coughing between movements. I think that could be improved.
What's next?
I was wondering whether we could pick one of the two, three, or four movements, and that our last play.
The buskers.
Buskers one. City Centre buskers traffic.
And could we start with Chris's recording of the traffic that you did?
Yes.
Might be nice. Could you start with the bells last week? We listened. I think after you'd gone, we listened to the bells and then did our hexatonic improvisation. Or was that when you were?
No, we had the bells with the falcon in the church. Was it the birds of prey?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we came back
to
the three bells and played a bit more with those pictures. Tell us about your recording, Chris and Zara.
Maybe you can do a better recording, because there was something about traffic whizzing by. I really wanted to get that rhythmic bit, so we'll have to do it again. Do you want to press it?
Seagulls.
Only a few at the beginning.
Is that what you were trying to capture? And then
I was waiting, yeah.
So Martin's been thinking.
Was it a wet day? It sounded squishy.
I didn't think it was a wet day.
It does sound like it, I know.
Yeah, it's kind of noise.
And for me, I think if I were there, I would have only, without recording it, I would have only heard the birds. Mm. I would have not heard the traffic.
Mm.
I mean, there's quite a lot of traffic and quite a lot of noise. But humans have this fantastic ability to sort out what they want to hear.
Is it constant, persistent, and unnoticed?
Yeah.
It's
yes.
Constant, persistent, and unnoticed.
That's usually
But unnoticed sounds like there isn't anything active going on. I think there's active stuff going on in humans who live in cities to block this out. And if you lived in somewhere completely silent and came to a city, you would hear it. Which is different from unnoticed.
I notice something happens to what I notice, but as soon as you press record, the way that I listen changes in that way. Things that you take for granted, usually you notice.
Yeah.
It changes the hierarchy.
I'm not even sure if it's taken for granted. I think it's work being done.
Filtering.
Just to make, filtering out so that you can see what's left or hear what's left.
Yeah, which is exhausting. We're doing it. We don't realise. You wonder why you get tired after a day out in London. It's partly because you're doing a lot of work, aren't you? About
lots
filtering.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think what Chris said about it, your listening changes, but also it becomes something, doesn't it? You know. So the last thing that my mum said to me was, "Make sure you say goodbye to your dad." It was very lovely. It was really sweet. The last time I saw her about a week before she died, and then I had that in my head when I got on the train. I got to the railway station. I had like 10 minutes to wait, and the drones in the railway station were so fantastic. But I recorded about 6 minutes of just these amazing drones in Birmingham New Street Station, and when I titled it, I called it "Remember to Say Goodbye to Your Dad." And so for me, it was just like I was listening to that piece as a little piece. And then when I put it on, I was thinking, oh yeah, these drones are for mum and dad. It was quite interesting. And a bit like you sort of saying, yes, you, as soon as you record something, you think differently and you listen differently, you know, and something's gone in your head. And what you remember that moment, don't you? So when Paul said it was wet, you're going, no, it wasn't. Because you've got a. Well, if you hadn't recorded it, you wouldn't remember it, would you?
No.
Yeah. And then we all hear it very different.
Shall we play a piece that has two options now to finish today? Option one is traffic, and option two is buskers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
traffic. If you're playing soft traffic, it's quite hard for a soft traffic. Who found some other sounds? Other narrative. There was some narrative going on over here.
Please go.
Yeah. Very insistent sirens riding at over.
Sirens.
That were great.
We had
a Simon right up next to you.
We had a Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean there.
We did, well, that's right.
There's a red sign over there.
I've enjoyed Anna's playing a lot today.
David's going to go on.
A bit like hearing Zara at the beginning. Every time you play, you really think about what sound am I going to get into. And when you got into that, the previous piece, you were going...
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's what she's exploring. It's still going on. She's really exploring that sound well. I really like the way that you... Yeah, it's been very nice on the melodic.
She was intrigued.
Yes. And they made me think of a composer about 100 years ago called Charles Ives, who wrote lots of music where simultaneous things happen, but out of time or rhythm with each other. So he did a piece where, like, there's one fantastic piece where two marching bands approach, and they're playing in different keys and different times, and he recreates that in his one of his symphonies. That's right. Yeah, and that's what we were sort of doing, weren't we? And there were lots of other composers about the same time, 100 years ago, a bit like Vaughan Williams, who were trying to. There was another man called George Antheil, who wrote a piece called Ballet Mécanique, where with lots of instruments that recreating the sound of factories and machines. And he had lots of player pianos in it and mechanical instruments in that symphony as well. So, you know, that's 100 years ago. So it's quite interesting for us to think about the sounds we're making now.
So we'll share the recordings with you. So do listen to them and reflect back if you have time, you're interested, on what we've made.
So your kind of challenge this week is to think about, you know, what you might do with that little melody earlier, or any other movements and idea.
I think an individual challenge is if you wanted to be a busker in that piece and that. Then you could compose a little busking tune for yourself that you could you can bring.
Nice.
Because buskers don't really work together to plan their music, do they?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can hear them at the same time. Ah!
That's right, yeah. And the other thing is, any more recordings you might want to make, it's really nice to be able to hear the recording from Exeter.
So if you haven't looked on my Exeter Soundwalks Instagram, I'm sharing some of the things that we've done on there, and I encourage you to, if you do make recordings, it would be lovely to put them up. I've put the bells of St. Petrox up there, so we can have a little, I think of it as a repository of Exeter sounds.
Yeah. And to think about, next Sunday we're going to be online. So I'm not sure you'll get another BSO reminder about that, but it was sent in the last email with the link.
Did everybody get that this week?
Yeah.
You haven't?
Got
that?
Check.
Right.
We'll check.
Right. Yeah. And 2 weeks today, here again. And have a think.
It hasn't come to me, so I'll take your email.
2 weeks ago, if people kind of think, is there anything special we'd like to do, because there's two more sessions to our final one, about how we might like to end it. Do we want to do a performance of some kind, invite people in on that last Sunday in March?
Got a request.
Yeah.
Our quest is not turned out.
Request.
And then we'll just be at home.
I haven't played my bass clarinet for the best part of a year, but it's like, I so want to sit over there with the bass clarinet, but it's a question of whether I can inflict it without ever having practiced. I'm not sure I won't even get it out of the bass before the next week.
You have to inflict it.
Exactly right. Because we haven't checked how many hours a day Ruth's been practicing, or Mark, or
many,
Candy.
Many hours.
Well, we haven't checked them, have we, Ruth?
Right,
you know? Yeah. Yeah, if you have to bring it along, it'd be brilliant, yeah. I know, it's difficult. Great, see you all next week, hopefully, and definitely 2 weeks' time.
Thank you. Well, it seems like an elevator.